Okay, we are back. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith, and this is Smith Sabatino. In this segment, Michael Brickman joins us, National Policy Director for Common Core, and we're going to discuss its possible effects on the 2016 race and other related education matters. Mr. Brickman, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me.
There has been so many questions relevant to Common Core, its effect on the students, on the school system, and so on and so forth. Could you enlighten our listeners just a bit in the simplest of ways as to exactly what we're referring to when we use the term Common Core?
Right. So there are a lot of people out there who think this is a curriculum or it's something to do with textbooks or No Child Left Behind. There's a lot of confusion out there. Basically, what the Common Core is it's a set of goals and expectations, essentially answering the question of what do you want students in your state to know by the time they graduate from high school? And all states have had something like this in place before. They're called academic standards. They've had academic standards for a long time. The problem is what students were expected to know in the old days after they graduated from high school was far below the even basic level of what was expected of students when they got into college or went into the workforce. So really Common Core is about saying in English and math, no other subjects, just those two subjects, what do you want students to know in those two subjects so by the time they graduate, they can be ready for college, ready for the workforce, et cetera.
In the Roland Smith here, Mr. Brinkman, thank you again for joining us on Smith Sabatino. What is the biggest misconception on the part of the layperson in America about Common Core?
Right. So I think really two things. So going back to what I was just saying a moment ago, it's the end game. It's the expectations. There are a lot of people out there who think that that therefore means it's a curriculum. And it's there are even people who call it the Common Core curriculum when it's not. It doesn't tell teachers what to teach, how to teach it, what textbooks to use, what homework assignments to give, what lessons to give. So you see all these things on social media and elsewhere where people are saying, look at this really confusing Common Core math problem. And they're half right. It's a very confusing problem, usually. The parents have exactly right. The problem is it doesn't have anything to do with Common Core. It's just a bad textbook. When, unfortunately, we've had bad textbooks since we've had textbooks. The other thing is I think there's some confusion about the process behind this, and there are a lot of people who see this as some sort of federal mandate. Now, I definitely agree with people out there who think that the federal government has gotten too involved in this area and in education generally, but we're finding states are free to change these standards, modify them, or simply reassert their control over them if they so choose.
Who developed Common Core? I mean, where did it? What's its genesis?
So it was really developed by the state's governors and state education chiefs. So your state education superintendents, they all got together and they realized this problem that in too many states, your high school diploma did not really set you up well to go to college or get a good job because the expectations in that state were set far too low and far below what was expected in college or in the workforce. And so they got together and they designed these more rigorous expectations. They looked at research. They looked at the best of what was going on in a lot of other states. And they devised this other set of expectations, this more rigorous set of expectations that eventually became known as the Common Core.
You know, it's interesting. Both Carl and I have been adjunct professors at various colleges throughout our careers over the last, let's say, 40 to 50 years. I can recall within the last 10 years lecturing at a journalism class in a major college where the students had no idea what a simple declarative sentence was, and in some cases not even sure that they could define a verb, a predicate, a noun, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think that both in your English subjects, your reading and writing, as well as in basic mathematics, you hear that all the time, not just from college professors, but also from employers who are frustrated with the fact that the students they're seeing come out of high school don't have what I think many of us would expect to be a high school level education. And that's also leading to ripple effects in the job market, where more and more jobs are, they now require a college degree when it's the same job that, say, 10 or 15 years ago just required a high school diploma. There are many employers out there who are frustrated at the lack of not only the academic skills, but also the persistent skills, the showing up on time, these basic skills that we expect people to have in the workplace that too often students who have graduated from high school haven't picked up yet.
In many cases, though, that's not really the responsibility of Common Core, is it?
No, I think some of those other skills are not. I think that's the responsibility of parents, maybe to some extent the schools, but really ultimately the parents and the families. But some of those academic skills, that is something that the schools have a direct impact on, and it's something that I think, unfortunately, as a country and as individual states and local school districts, we haven't done as good a job as we possibly could. I think that there's too much we need to do. You especially look at how we're doing in our country versus other countries around the world. We're spending a lot more and we're getting a lot less. And so I think we need to look at this issue in our K-12 system and make sure that from very early on, students are developing the basic building block skills in the early grades and later on doing something that will lead them to a productive pathway once they graduate from high school.
Well, apparently this issue is going to be in the 2016 presidential election. Do you think it should be? Do you think it should be part of the discussion in the political arena?
Well, I absolutely think education should be part of the discussion in general, and I think that there are going to be different viewpoints on what the federal role should be. I'm someone who believes that there should be a more limited federal role and that these decisions should be made by state and local governments. That's not a value judgment, though, on whether or not the Common Core standards are a good set of standards. I think that they are a good set of standards, but they're a set of standards that should be implemented without any interference from the federal government. Unfortunately, the federal government did get involved. The Obama administration offered incentives for states to adopt these standards. They really kind of pushed them on states. And because of that, I would view it as inappropriate role in the coming from the Obama administration. You've seen this political backlash, and frankly, I don't think that we'd be having this conversation, and I don't think it'd be a political conversation at all in this country if the Obama administration hadn't gotten involved in this in the first place.
Mr. Brinkman, Mrs. Sabatino here. Once again, Carl Sabatino. I'd like to ask you one question, and we have about 2 minutes left. How do you, in your estimation, I've had this question and I've asked other people that are in the educational area, how are our students doing today overall?
Well, I think that they're doing about as well as students were doing a few decades ago. The problem is they're not getting from home life or from wherever else, they're not getting some of those other life skills, if that's what you want to call it, that I think kids used to get at home or from church or from some other area of life. And so I think that's really missing, where they may have the same academic skills as students decades ago, but they don't have some of these other skills. The other problem is what was sufficient 10, 20, 30, 50 years ago to get a good job is not sufficient today. We need students to know more than they knew those decades ago. And unfortunately, that's not happening. We're not progressing as much as we should. And even though some students, and again, all of what I just said is looking at the average, there are many students who are doing quite well. Unfortunately, there are still achievement gaps. There are still individual schools or school districts that are very far behind their peers. And it's important for them to catch up, but also for us as a nation to recognize that it's not just about competing with your neighbors down the road or across town anymore. We're competing globally, and we need to make sure that our students are doing as well, if not better, than students across the world. And right now, unfortunately, that's not happening.
Somebody suggested that the schools are not teaching social studies and writing and literature because of all the requirements of the subjects in Common Core.
Well, the focus is on English and mathematics. Of course, part of English is reading and reading great literature, and that's absolutely a part of it. There are some people out there who are wrongly claiming that Common Core is going to somehow de-emphasize literature. They have their facts wrong, and I've heard that quite a lot, but that's just something that needs to be corrected, because the fact is there is a strong focus on reading great works of American literature and other literature in the Common Core, but it's up to the teachers to decide what actual texts are going to be used, and so it's up to parents to make sure they're involved and they're holding their local schools accountable, because ultimately those local schools are the ones who are going to have to make those decisions.
Mr. Brinkman, thank you very much. We can go on with this. Michael Brinkman, National Policy Director, Common Core, thank you so much. We're going to pick this up again. We may ask you to come back, please, okay? Thank you so very much for your time. This is called Sabatino with Roland Smith. Smith Sabatino, we're back. Please stay with us.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. How about an extra boost of self-esteem? Don't laugh. You know you want it, you need it, and it's right there staring you in the face. Here's the social science of it. To find more positive self-esteem, you need to know about the mere exposure effect. Things we see often we tend to like the most. It's the premise behind advertising, and it's easy to use this to your advantage. So, if you want more positive self-esteem, put a favorable, flattering picture of yourself where you can see it regularly. The more you're exposed to your own positive image, the more you'll like yourself. What's the cheap psychological trick? The mere exposure of your smiling face back at you improves familiarity with yourself and improves your own regard for you. Face it, it works. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. No ice in the Arctic within 5 years? Some statistics are even grimmer. Polar bears have had it rough in recent years, and global warming is only heating things up more, it seems. The polar bear is in mortal danger of literally becoming the first mammal to go extinct as a direct result of global warming. The U.S. Geological Survey predicts the world's polar bear population to drop 75% by the year 2050, including every polar bear within the United States. Scientists also say the Arctic could be completely ice-free within 5 years. For the past 5 years, the government chose not to grant endangered species status for the polar bear because the administration preferred to sell multiple oil leases all across polar bear habitat. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.